when you ask for good things in the will of the Father, and He gives those things to you, and you use those things faithfully, all these other things will come to you. You won't even ask. You won't even have to ask for them anymore. You just start getting it.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Key to Prayer and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The Key to Persistent Prayer, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. I'm reading out of the ESV, the English Standard Version. This is Jesus speaking. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Okay, so Jesus is still continuing his Sermon on the Mount. And today he's talking about prayer. Prayer is one of the most important parts of the Christian walk. In these verses, Jesus gives us instruction to persevere in prayer. Oftentimes we pray and then walk away before we even hear from God. Or other times we think that God isn't listening, and so we give up altogether. But again, prayer is one of the most important parts of the Christian's walk with God. It's our communication. You see, as Christians, God listens to us. He hears us. Before I became a Christian, I had this belief that I had to clean my life up first in order to be a Christian. I had this belief that I couldn't be a Christian because I was sinful. I had to straighten something out in my life before I could ask God to forgive me. Well, that defeats the purpose of grace. So the first prayer that any Christian needs to be saying to God is the prayer of salvation. When I said the prayer of salvation, over a period of time of praying with God, I realized that He was showing me the areas in my life that He wanted to work on me. And see, that's the whole purpose of prayer. Prayer is to get us aligned with the will of God. Because when we first come to God through Jesus Christ, none of us are in any shape whatsoever. That's why we're coming to Him. And so prayer is our way of seeking, knocking, and asking God what He wants from us. And so today, I'm going to give you the key to prayer, which is persistence. But we're going to go over this so we have a better understanding of it. Persevering prayer. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Well, now I know everybody in here has had a prayer, and it didn't get answered the way they wanted it to be answered. So what is Jesus talking about? We're going to find out. We must be persistent in our prayers. Just because we do not get the answer the first or second or even third time, we must still ask and ask persistently. So the first point that I want to make is that we need to be asking. Now look, in Luke 11, verses 5 and 8, and he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Now, what Jesus is saying is that when you bug somebody enough, they'll just give it to you because you're being persistent. Man, I'll give it to you just to shut you up. Right? Now, asking for loaves of bread to feed somebody is a good thing to ask for, isn't it? It's just that it was the wrong time to be asking for it. So sometimes we come to God and we think, well, you know, he's not going to give this to me. But if it's something in the will of God, he will. He just may not give it to you as soon as you pray for it. When we ask, we are to ask for good things and not selfish wants. James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You see, when you come to God and you pray for something, you're not supposed to pray for selfish things. He's not going to give you those stuff. He's not going to give you those things. So there are conditions on prayer. But I like it when God gives me good things. I do too. But remember, it's got to be good things. You have to keep moving forward with God, and you do that through asking, seeking, and knocking. Because God will tell you one thing and make you wait for the next instruction when you're ready to receive it. Our asking is a humble way of acknowledging to God, ourselves, and others that we need God's provision and that we trust him to give us what we need, when we need it, where we need it, how we need it, and for how long we need it. Now remember, Jesus says to ask. That word is not the same as dictate to him. We don't go to God and tell him what we need, what we want, what we like, what we want to happen. We don't dictate. He says the word ask. When you ask, you humble yourself. When you ask, you acknowledge that he is in control, and his answer will be sufficient for you. But see, a lot of people just say, well, God, I just can't do what it is you want me to do. And they start dictating in prayer. Jesus tells us to ask in prayer, not to tell, not to dictate, not to order, not to demand, but to ask. So our asking is a humble way of acknowledging to God, ourselves, and others that we need God's provision. I'm not self-sufficient. I couldn't run this church without God. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I could have 1,000 people in here, but without God, there's going to be no fruits. I need him. I have to ask him every day, Lord, help me do this. Matthew 6:8, for your father knows what you need before you ask him. That's the good thing, is that before you even ask God, he already knows what you need. Now, does this say that he knows what you want? See, there's a difference between a need and a want, isn't there? The Bible does not say that God knows what you want before you ask him. You know, he already knows that too, but he's not concerned with your wants. He's concerned with your needs. Because sometimes when I want something, it's not good for me. You see, I want the things of the flesh. That's my human sin nature. I want things that are bad for me. So God isn't concerned with what we want because our wants will get us into trouble. And he cares about us. You see what I mean? We need to seek when we ask. Matthew 6:33. And see, we've gone over these verses in past Sundays, right? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, this is great because the first thing in prayer you're supposed to be asking God for is more Christ-likeness. That's the kingdom. Jesus is the kingdom of God. When you pass away or the Lord returns, where do you think you're going to spend eternity? With Jesus. You're supposed to be asking for more Jesus. And then the second part of this says, and his righteousness. You see, don't go to God telling him how good you've been. Don't go to God and tell him about your righteousness. Well, Lord, I deserve this. Because look what I've done and what I'm doing and what I will do. No, you have no righteousness of your own. You come to God in prayer and you seek his righteousness. You tell him how good he is, and that's why you deserve it. You tell him how much he's forgiven you and how undeserving you are, but how loving and caring and merciful that he is. That's his righteousness, not ours. I can't go to God and tell him, well, I'm a pastor and I deserve this and I deserve that. No, I have no righteousness because I'm a pastor. I come to God and I say to him, I don't deserve it, but I know you love me and I know you care about me and I know you're merciful. And I'm asking you, please do this for me. That's seeking his righteousness. That's not dictating to him all the things that we've done for him. When we pray, we are asking. And when we ask, we should ask for the will of God. He will always give us what we ask for in his will. There are no exceptions to this principle. None whatsoever. If you ask anything in the will of the Father, he will give it to you. I didn't say he'd give it right away. I had to wait many, many years, but I was asking in the will. But he will give you whatever you ask for that's in his will. No exception. But you don't know his will unless you're praying for his will. You don't know how to pray for his will until you're seeking his will. How do we seek his will? Do we just sit around and pray all day? We had to read the Bible, right? The Bible talks about the will of God. Amen. And if we're not reading our Bibles, we don't really know what the will of God is, do we? Because the Bible gives us instructions on the character of God. So we should be seeking through prayer and reading the Bible and fellowshipping with mature Christians who have their life together with Christ. Amen. Luke 22, verse 42 says, saying, Father, if you are willing, this is Jesus praying. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Which part of this prayer did God the Father answer? The second part. See, Jesus was asking him if there's another way that this can be done. He was talking about the crucifixion. He was talking about becoming sin for us. How many of you guys know that Jesus became sin for us? He took our sins on. He was asking for another way, but he said, look, if there is no other way, then your will be done. Which part did God answer? The Father. He answered the part about the will being done. Jesus went to the cross. Amen. He lined his flesh up with the will of the Father. This should be our prayer too. It's not easy. Jesus had to pray it three times. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he knew that once he became sin for us, the presence of the Father would separate from him because God can't be in the presence of sin. And he uttered the statement, the question I should say, my God, why have you forsaken me? God didn't forsake him, but the presence of God pulled away. How many of you guys know that when you live in sin, when you commit a lifestyle of sin, the presence of God pulls away from you? So Jesus didn't want that to happen. He didn't want the feeling of fellowship with God the Father to break away from him. That's what he dreaded about the cross more than the beating of the cat of nine tails, more than the spikes going through his body, more than the slow death on the cross. He did not want to suffer the separation, and he prayed, if there's another way, let it be so. But guess what? The will of the Father was prayed for also, and he got the will. So he will never, ever turn down his will for your life if you ask, if you seek, if you knock. We are to knock. This means to be persistent. Just because we don't get an answer right away doesn't mean we won't get one at all. People tell me all the time, I've been praying. I'm just not getting any answer at all. If you know that it's a good thing that you're praying for, if you know that it's in the will of the Father to give it to you, keep praying. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. God always answers prayer. There's no exception to that either. Sometimes he answers no. Sometimes he answers yes. And other times he simply says wait. We are to knock until he opens the door. Now see, this is a very dangerous thing that people do, and that is, they will pray, and God will tell them to wait, or he will tell them no. And they will go open the door themselves. You see, when you pray about something, sometimes you have the power to open the door that you're asking God to open up for you. And when you've got that power within your grasp and you exercise it, you can cause trouble for not only yourself, but the people of God. Moses was commanded by God to speak to the rock, to give it water. But he didn't speak to the rock. He took upon his own power and he took his stick and he hit the rock and the rock gave water. And God did not let him see the promised land because of that. Now, Moses still got the same results, but he didn't do it via God. He opened the door instead of letting God open the door. When you start knocking and seeking and asking and then start opening doors, you can be in some trouble with God. You have to wait on God to give you the answer. Number two, why we must persevere in prayer. Don't you know there's a reason why? And Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. So that's why we have to persist. Prayer is conditional. What? Pastor, that's crazy. I get whatever I pray for, and when I don't, I make it happen. Okay. Prayer is conditional. We are commanded to ask, seek, and to knock. Failing to do so causes us to misalign ourselves with the will of God the Father, and we insult God when we ask once or twice and then walk away without an answer. How insulting is it to you when someone comes up and asks you something? And they just walk away and they don't even let you give them an answer. Or they cut you off when you're trying to give them the answer. It's insulting, isn't it? When we fail to ask and seek and knock, we never hear God's response to prayer. We only hear our own petitions. You see, some people come to prayer and all they hear is what they're praying. They don't wait around to hear the answer that God had for them. We don't seek the kingdom when we don't ask, knock, or seek, but rather our own selfish passions. You see, you know something when you're praying. And you know what it is that you know? You know that when you're praying, you're supposed to be asking God what he wants. But people who don't persistently pray, who don't ask and seek and knock, they're going after their own selfish passions. Some people get it right away. You see, they'll ask God for something that's selfish, and they'll immediately get their answer, I'm not giving that to you, and they'll run off, and they'll quit praying. But see, if they would have stuck around a little bit longer, God would have told them why they weren't getting what they were asking for. You see what I mean? He would have spoke to their hearts, correcting something inside of them. Sometimes when we ask God for something and he tells us to wait, it could be something in our life that's not lined up. It could be somebody in our life that's not lined up. There could be something that we're doing or not doing that doesn't line up with God. And he's wanting to fix that in us first before he answers our prayer. Some people get stuck for a lifetime because they never listen to the answer of God. Also, when we walk away without asking and seeking and knocking, we show our own insincerity and faithlessness. I mean, really, how bad do you want something to happen that you're going to pray about it one time? One person told me, well, I only pray one time because God hears all prayers. How many times does it take you to have a conversation with somebody before you can hear what they're saying? It's a two-way conversation, right? So when you pray, you're supposed to listen back. And Jesus knows that a lot of us don't listen too good, do we? I can tell you as a pastor, I will tell people, I will give them godly instruction from the Bible, and they won't listen to me. And I will have to tell them again and again, and they still won't listen to me, and they will carry on, and they will continue on, and they will do the exact opposite of what I told them that God would not want them to do. And they mess everything up. So I do know that you have got to be told. I have got to be told. We have got to be told several times. And sometimes that means praying. Sometimes that means asking, seeking, and knocking. The difference between the words ask, seek, and knock. Ask, okay, well, we ask when we have a need or a want. We ask when there is someone who has plenty of what we want and or need. When somebody is sick and the doctors say they can't do anything, a lot of people get religious. It's true. When the doctor says he can't meet what you're wanting or needing, you're going to start praying, right? When you're hurting and none of your friends can help you, you start to pray. Seek. We seek or look when we have a need or a want for something of value. We seek when we have a part in obtaining what it is we need or want. You have a part in your own salvation. You should be seeking salvation through Jesus Christ. You should be asking for salvation through Jesus Christ. You should be knocking to get into the kingdom of heaven. Knock. We knock when we are shut out and want or need entrance. We knock when someone is on the other side who can let us in. Let me tell you something. Every sinner is shut out of the kingdom of God. I don't let people in who are against me. Would you let a burglar into your house knowing he's going to rob you? Would you let a burglar in your house or a thief or someone that you know is going to destroy your home? Jesus has every sinner shut out until they ask, until they seek, until they knock, and he opens the door. Revelations, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone answers, I will come in and I will dine with them. You see, Jesus is knocking too. Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts. So he's not telling us to do anything that he himself is not doing for us. He wants a relationship with us. But you got to want that relationship too. So you have to ask for that relationship. You have to seek for that relationship. And you have to knock. Because you know what? We're shut out. Sinners are shut out of the kingdom of God. It's his rules. It's his house. I don't make the rules. I just preach the word of God. So I had to ask God for salvation. I had to seek Jesus for that salvation. And I had to knock for him to open the door of salvation. Amen. When we ask for the right thing and seek after it and then knock for the door to be opened through persistent prayer, Christ opens the door for us. So we have to ask for the right thing. We have to seek after it. And then we have to knock and let Jesus answer the door and open it for us to give us the opportunity that we prayed for. We are not always ready to receive what we are asking for in prayer. Sometimes God has to prepare us and or others for what we are asking for. Now, I remember back in 2005, I was walking in the parking lot and I was asking God what's taking him so long to fix some things that were wrong in my life. And I remember the reply he gave me. He said, James, I work at the speed of life, L-I-F-E, not the speed of light. Because if I worked any faster than that, I would break people. In other words, when you're praying, let God work on you at the speed that you can handle it. Because there's some things in your life that you're asking God to fix right now. And he says, if I go any faster, I'm going to break you. Not to mention, there's other people who are not aligned with the purpose of this prayer that I have to lead forward. And I have to turn to the left and turn to the right in order to get them lined up into your life. And when they're ready, I will put these people in your life and I will put you in the life of those people. And I will arrange circumstances and your prayer will be answered. And to which we all say, well, I don't want to wait. I don't like waiting for stuff like that. And if you take shortcuts after God has given you that answer, you're going to find yourself in a place you didn't want to be. Sometimes we pray and we persist and listen to God. Sometimes when we pray and as we persist and listen to God, we start to hear from him. Now, in turn, we can alter our prayer to reflect more on his will as we stand persistently before him. Didn't Jesus do that? If there's a way to take this cup away from me, then let it be, right? Let this cup pass. But he went 3 times. And he altered his prayer. Nonetheless, your will be done. You see what prayer does? It starts to change your mind, not God's. You're not talking God into anything when you pray. Well, you think you're convincing God? No, he's trying to convince you to pray for the right thing. Think about that. God's already made up his mind. He's perfect. He's all knowing. He's all loving. He's all caring. He knows already what you need before you ask. The problem is you don't know what you need before you ask. So you keep asking and you keep praying, you keep knocking and you keep seeking. And before you know it, you start praying for the right thing. Your prayers will start to change because you'll learn as you mature as a Christian that all this stuff you've been asking for as a babe in Christ is not getting answered anyways. He's just not giving it to you. So you'll learn not even to ask for that stuff anymore. And you'll learn something else. When you ask for good things in the will of the Father and he gives those things to you, and you use those things faithfully, all these other things will come to you. You won't even ask. You won't even have to ask for them anymore. You'll just start getting it. They'll chase you down. They'll run you over. You won't even have to look for them. They'll just come knocking on your door. Amen? Number 3, how to persevere in prayer. The last part of our scriptures today is Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11. Or which of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So let's analyze these scriptures. The first step in persevering in prayer is to approach God as a son does a father, verses 9 and 10. You're to come to God knowing that he is your spiritual father. He's not your equal. You're not his boss. You're his daughter. You're his son. You're his child. And you are to come to him asking, how many of you guys got kids in here? Don't they bug you till you give them what they want? But not if it's really bad, I would hope not. I mean, your kid comes up and asking for cigarettes, you're going to tell them no, right? I would hope, okay? But if they come up and they ask you for something to get their homework done with, it might be a computer system. You may not be able to afford it. But if you know that they're going to use it for good and it's a good thing that they're asking for, you're going to give it to them if it's within your power. Now, you may not give it to them right away, but if they keep bugging you and bugging you and bugging you and bugging you, you're going to say, well, they're sincere about this. They really want to do good with this. They really want this computer. They really want to get their grades up. I'm going to give it to them. The next thing to persevere in prayer is we must recognize that God is our perfect Father in heaven. Don't compare God to yourself. Don't go around saying, well, because I'm unforgiving and I wouldn't give anybody anything they asked me for, well, God isn't going to. Man, God is far more forgiving than you give him credit for. He's perfect. Matthew 5:48, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You also have to have faith that God will not give you less than what you ask for. In verse 11, Jesus compares God, the Father, to earthly parents. He points out the sin nature of people versus the perfection of God. So what Jesus is saying is, look, we're covered in sin and we make mistakes and we purposely do things to hurt other people and ourselves. Let's just be honest with ourselves. That's what we do as people, okay? It's not human nature. It's called sin nature. We weren't created by God to do the things that we do, okay? So let's get that right on the table right now. We're all guilty in front of God. We're guilty because he's perfect and we're not, and we choose not to be. Amen? Okay, so we got that right. So what Jesus is saying, that even though we're sinful in our nature, we will still do good things for our children. How much more will God do for you? And he's perfect. Does that make sense? You got a perfect Father who wants to take care of you. The problem is that people don't ask, seek, and knock in the will of God to find out where he wants to lead them. And somebody once told me, I'm scared to ask for God's will because he may change my whole life. He may turn it completely upside down. Well, guess what? I don't know of anybody who is not in the will of God who is happy with the life they're living. Deep down inside, people will hide their depression. Deep down inside, people will lie to you. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? They'll put on a happy face. But in reality, they're miserable because they're not living the life that God wants them to live. But they'll hide it. Also in verse 11, Jesus tells us that when we ask for good things, everybody say good, the Father won't give them to us. Oh, will give them to us. Okay. Didn't he say that when the child asks for something that's good, is he going to give you something bad in return for it? He's going to give you something good if it's good for you. You're not going to give your children bad things. We're almost done. Persistent prayer means we must come confidently to God. Now listen to this, because this is so important. This is one of the most important points that I'm going to make today to get your prayers answered. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. First of all, he doesn't say want, in time of want. He says in time of need. Now listen. Confidently draw near to the throne of what? What does grace mean? Unearned favor. You didn't do anything to get God to love you. He loves you already, and he accepts you when you accept Jesus. That is your throne of grace. Anybody know what repentance means? It means to turn away, change your mind. Anybody know what sin means? It means to miss the mark. So what we do is we come to God and we say, I missed the mark. But I want to change my direction. I'm not going to be a perfect human being. I can't be. But I admit to you that I'm wrong. And because you are full of grace and love and forgiveness, you're going to accept me as a son or a daughter. And you're going to fix me because I'm going to come to you in prayer seeking as I ask you to reveal to me where I need to go in my life so that you can fix what's wrong with me. What's wrong with each and every one of us? Sin. Sin. We're all covered in it, aren't we? But not when we accept Jesus Christ. He works on us. He changes us. He sanctifies us. Anybody know what sanctified means? He sets us apart. We're no longer of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We're different, aren't we? We're not better, but we're better off because we're going to be saved. Amen.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.